get time to discuss some of the,
yes,
the points that you raised, and I came in the middle of a middle of a discourse. So
I do not know who are those gentlemen. They are your teaching staff, that Mr. Chadda and others. They were introduced as Arya Samajis. They belong to the teaching staff, no?
No, the Arya Pataniri Sava, which is an organization which was started about 100 years ago by Swami Dayanand in India. With a motto, Bhanto Vishwam Aryan, let us make all men noble through search after truth. And that started in South Africa about 50 years ago. And one of the leading gentlemen in the organization today was the one sitting on the extreme left-hand side, Mr. Chotei. So they are celebrating their 50th anniversary here in South Africa with a week's program, and they invited these two acharyas over from India. One is from Delhi. I don't know where the other one is from. They invited them over to grace their celebrations. So they've been having a week of celebrations starting in City Hall last Sunday.
This Sunday?
The Sunday that's just passed, yes, they started there.
Oh.
I have a program in the car, perhaps I can give you the program and you could have a look. All kinds of interesting topics.
What interesting topic? The gentleman, he was introduced himself, I am God. So what topics he can have with them?
Yeah.
He said that I am God.
Yes.
I do not know what kind of topics they are.
Well, the one was the regeneration of the Hindu spirit. I don't know what was meant by that.
They do not belong to the Hindu. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita. You find out. Vedubhado rata parthya nannat astiti badina.
I have read through the Gita, of course, but you see, and I have thereafter referred to certain paragraphs, but it is a book of profound depth, and unless you spend a lot of time going into details, much of it gets...
I've got this.
Gets lost.
Vedabhado rata.
Yes.
Huh?
Yang imam pushpitang vacham radavanti avipashtita vedavara rata partha nanyad astita vadinam kamatmana svarga para janma karma pala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishvarya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Purport. People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available and material opulence is very common. In the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for elevation to the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotishtoma sacrifices. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices, and men with a poor fund of knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of Vedic wisdom. It is very difficult for such inexperienced persons to be situated in the determined action of Krishna consciousness. As fools are attached to the flowers of poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attractions, similarly, unenlightened men are attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof. In the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, it is said that those who perform the 4 monthly penances become eligible to drink the Somaras beverages to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some are very eager to have some Somaras and to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratifications. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual, and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. It is understood that there are gardens called Nandana Kanana, in which there is the good opportunity for association with angelic beautiful women and having a profuse supply of Somaras wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to material temporary happiness as lords of the material world.
Well, so we are left in this 20th century, this last part of the century, with a new global search for the truth of the spirit. We, of course, in the Western world are not familiar with the Gita and so on. But our problem is basically, I think, the one that you raised, was how do we make a reality, scientific reality. I think you were quite right. I think very few people get the point that you were trying to make there.
That is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, scientific reality. Therefore I raised that question. But nobody could reply properly. They thought it a kind of Hindu conception. No. That is not Hindu conception. That is the basic principle of living condition. We are changing body, and there are so many varieties of body. We may enter in any one of them after death. That is the real problem. Prakita-kriyamanani, gunai-karmani, sarvasa. Nature's work is going on. This body is a machine. This machine, just like a car, has been offered to us by material nature, by the order of God, Krishna. And you are moving, transmigration. So, the real purpose of life is to stop this migration, transmigration, perpetually from one body to another, one body to another, and revive our original spiritual position, so that we can lead eternally blissful life of knowledge. That is the aim of life. The whole Vedic conception is based on this principle.
Now, how do you... This the old concept of reincarnation.
Yes.
How do you reconcile
reincarnation
with this attempt?
Well, so long you have desire for material.
This is what is normally in the Hindu religion, you know, which it is not so, of course, in the Christian religion.
It is not the question of religion. This is the I would say our position, real position. Religion develops. Religion is a kind of faith. That develops according to time, circumstances, people. But reality is this, that we are spirit soul. We are now conditioned by the laws of material nature, and we are carried away by the laws of material nature and transmigrating from one body to another, sometimes happy, sometimes distressed, or sometimes heavenly planet, sometimes lower planet. This is going on. And human life is meant for stopping this process of transmigration and revive our original consciousness and go back to home, back to God, and lead eternally blissful life of knowledge. This is the whole scheme of Vedic literature. And Bhagavad Gita is the synopsis how to attain this life. Therefore, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita begins to understand the constitutional position of the soul. Then, other things. First of all, we have to understand what we are, whether I am this body or something else. This is the first understanding. So I was trying to explain this, but that Mr. Chadda, he would bring that he want to introduce Hindu conception. It is not Hindu conception, it is the scientific conception. I am a child for some time, then I become a boy. Sometimes then I become a young man, sometimes then I become old man. In this way I am changing body. This is not Hindu conception or Vedic conception, this is the fact. But he would not hear that. He would simply say, you are trying to push Hindu conception out. Hey, what is this Hindu concept? It is equally applicable to everyone.
True.
Scientific basis. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nasmin yatha dehi kaumara jo vanagajara tatha dehantara prati dhirasata. Find out this.
Dehi nosmin yatha dehi kaumaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara prati dhirasata namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change.
But.
Purport. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there is no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering, according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have either spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least life in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause of lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the supersoul and nature, both material and spiritual, is called a dhira, or a most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the change of bodies. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the Supreme cleavable or changeable against the principle of the Supreme Soul being unchangeable. As confirmed in the Gita, the fragmental portions of the Supreme exist eternally, sanatana, and are called kshara. That is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental portions are eternally so, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same, fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge with the personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to the supersoul, who is present in each and every individual body and is known as the Paramatma, who is different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections represent both the sun and moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities, and the sun or moon to the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna, and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy, Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and the other being the instructed. Such instruction would be useless because, in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authoritative instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, superior in position to the living entity Arjuna, who is a forgotten soul deluded by Maya.
So in the Bhagavad Gita, everything is explained very scientifically. Not a sentimental expression, no. Logically, scientifically.
Yeah. The problem, as I see it, of course, is how to get modern man to make this study in depth that is contained or outlined in this book, especially when you're caught up in an educational system that denies a place to this very concept, or even the philosophy of it.
The modern education, they do not accept soul.
Part of it in theory, perhaps, you know, and at the junior stage, but as we advance, there is either a complete neutrality or a just a simple rejection of all these truths.
They do not accept soul.
They accept the soul,
huh.
I think so. But they do not care to analyze what it means.
And it is without analyzing this, what is the education? First of all, this should be analyzed. What is the distinction between a dead body and a living body? That must be analyzed. Otherwise, what is education? We are dealing with this body. The body is always dead. Just like a motor car, with driver or without driver. The car is always a lump of matter.
True.
Similarly, this body, with the soul and without the soul, is a lump of matter.
Not worth very much.
Huh?
Not worth very much.
No.
Think about one around 56 cents or something.
Yes.
Somebody worked it out the other day.
But if one cannot distinguish between the car and the driver of the car, then he remains just like a child. A child may think that the car is running automatically. But that is foolishness. There is a driver. The child may not know. But when the child is grown up, educated, still he does not know, then what is the meaning of his education?
But now this is the whole range of education in, well, as far as I am aware, in the whole of the Western world. And it covers primary and secondary and tertiary education. There is no place for an in-depth study of the soul and of the...
I talked with one big professor in Moscow. Perhaps you may know him. His name is Professor Kotovsky. He is the leader of Indology in Moscow. So I had a talk with him for about an hour. That talk was published in some paper. He says, Swamiji, after this body is annihilated, everything is finished. So you are surprised. And he is holding a very responsible post, Indology, and known to be very good scholar. He was a good scholar, but he also does not know.
Well, we have started a course, or we have a course here at our own university in Indology. It is, it is a scholar from Vienna. And we have to take that. We got to teach this course for us. But what he teaches, on what kind of basic philosophy, I wouldn't know. There are about 30 or 40 students, so in essence they ought to start by making at least a detailed study, as I've seen, of the Bhagavad Gita as a basis for their whole philosophy.
So why not appoint somebody to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is? That is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got step by step so many books, 50 books, simply to understand God.
Mm-hmm. You mean from the beginning right through?
Oh, yes.
I see. Because
you can make them pass the entrance examination, the graduate examination,
mm-hmm.
the postgraduate examination, mm-hmm. by studying these books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, this is apparently what one needs.
Oh.
This is perhaps what one needs, you know. And
our books are being appreciated in Europe, America, by big professors,
uh-huh.
universities. They are giving a standing order, even in Oxford University.
Uh-huh.
What is that, Oxford University?
Yes, I was just in London a while back.
No, the letter is there.
I don't know if I have one from Oxford. This is from Harvard. We just received this telegram from Los Angeles, Prabhupada. Amazing success from your library party. 152 standing orders sold in just 17 days of September in New England. 13 standing orders at Harvard. There's no limit in size. These books are very much being appreciated in America.
Is that for the set?
Yes, a standing order of books even which haven't been published yet. Prabhupada is translating on this dictaphone each night throughout the hours of the night.
Mm.
And now about 50 books so far,
mm-hmm.
many more to come.
The total number of books will be about 80.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, we have published about 50. So the balance, they are giving standing order as soon as published.
Yeah.
In the United States, these are many letters we have, just some of them from different professors who are actually using Prabhupada's books. Professors from respectable universities such as Harvard, Yale, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Dimmock, who is the leading scholar of Southeastern languages at the University of Chicago. He very much appreciates Prabhupada's books.
He has written on forward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So these books are being accepted as the authority, at least in America and England, so far as studies of Indian culture are concerned, philosophy, sociology. And you can see the beautiful presentation. Each Sanskrit is there, transliteration so that anyone can chant. Word for word, Sanskrit to English translation in English, and then a purport, a commentary.
That's right, this is a good edition. Good edition.
Professor Dimmock, he says that there are many, many translations of Bhagavad Gita. He says that by bringing us a new and living interpretation of a text already known to many, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has increased our understanding manyfold.
Yeah.
So although it's been prevalent in America, I know that when I was studying humanities in college in the University of Florida, Bhagavad Gita was required. And we read one edition, but it was very much limited. Until we come in contact with Bhagavad Gita as it is, the understanding is very much limited and stunted. But it's not a sectarian approach, it's purely scientific and realistic. There are many such reviews.
Yeah, this is a good letter.
All the different books, just offhand. So, these are some of the colleges, as of several months ago, who placed standing orders for our books. Now the professors, as we go from college to college in America, the universities, they're using our books as textbooks, standard textbooks. They're seeing that the cost of a book is not the real criterion. The criterion is the quality of the teaching. Someone may be attracted by the cover of the book. pronounced. Different words, glossary for words which may not be so well understood by the neophyte. References, and for the different pictures, plate numbers, and explanation. Mm-hmm. It's a complete edition. Nothing has ever been seen like this in the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
So there's great authority behind it.
Yeah. You see, this, our university has almost an obligation to make a study in depth of these points.
And after studying Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, then begins further, higher study, Srimad Bhagavat.
Yeah.
The same principle. So,
the same format is used. There are color illustrations, introduction, and Sanskrit transliteration word for word.
Now, would this be where would this come in a book like this,
This is the study course. Postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita, yes. The Bhagavad Gita is
Bhagavad Gita is entrance.
Yes.
And then this is graduate.
Yes.
And Chaitanya Chaitamita postgraduate.
Our big problem is at the undergraduate level.
Yes. There's the nectar of devotion and teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
Nectar of devotion. And the Sri Upanishad. These books are actually being used in undergraduate courses.
Yeah.
These are some of the recommendations to offer it as an undergraduate course. Mostly, this book is very, very interesting. This, The Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga. This explains scientifically the science of devotional service to God. That devotional service which is not practiced with reference to the Vedic literatures is simply a disturbance, just as if some chemist walked into an English laboratory or some foreign language laboratory and tried to do something, he has no knowledge.
Sure.
So in the same way, we should try to understand the science of devotional service from the authorities, so that it's not just doesn't become simply a disturbance in society. People lose faith in God that way. And the Sri Upanishad also, the same format once again. The Sanskrit transliteration word for word. This is a very nice entrance book into Vedic understanding. Mm-hmm. This is the most important of the Upanishads. Many other books we have like this. Paperbacks and hardbacks.
Yeah.
This is being used in many universities in America.
Temple University,
yes.
Study.
Yes.
Temple University?
Yes, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I've been there. There is an Islamic professor there, professor of Islamics, Faruqi. He was also here at the university lecturing in Islam.
See, this is University of Minnesota. This is a book review of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, I know of no better introduction to the vast literature of Krishna Bhakti than Sri Swami Bhaktivedanta's paraphrase of Canto 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam Purana. Translators inevitably have to choose between felicity and fidelity. In this edition, Bhaktivedanta resolves the dilemma by presenting a purport of each chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is both readable and substantial.
Mm.
No one can argue with the authority of these literatures, it's a fact.
Mm.
Because Srila Prabhupada has not manufactured anything from his own mind. He's simply being presented the Vedic literatures as they are, in such a way that we in the Western countries, we can understand very clearly without any hesitation what is being said in each verse, in each chapter.
Mm.
In other words, Prabhupada is not presenting in order to confuse or to juggle words, but to actually give people understanding.
Yeah.
This is why it's been accepted so readily. Give me such commentary.
Yeah, that other letter that you showed me, the first one is a
military state university.
Sociology.
Yes.
That's a good letter. It'd be a good letter to have a copy.
Yes, I can make copies of some of these letters and bring them by. Yeah. Will you be in your office on Monday?
I have a meeting in the morning.
I can leave it there.
My secretary.
Sure.
Yeah.
And all of these books are readily available here in stock. Yes, we have thousands and thousands of books here in South Africa.
In South Africa.
Oh yes, very, very reasonable prices.
Your Sanskrit professor, he has said.
Yes, the Sanskrit professor has noted that he would like to take the whole set of books.
What's his name, this professor? Zannenberg?
One of the devotees spoke with him, but he marked that I should go back and see him.
Where he is calling? That devotee?
Was this an Indian gentleman or not?
Yeah, it was an Indian gentleman. I saw him, but I didn't speak to him.
Which professor you
don't know? I don't know his name.
Probably Mishra?
It could be.
I don't know his name. I saw he was an Indian gentleman.
Yeah, we want to, I mean, I can do very little at a university, but my attempts have been to try and stress that the only permanent element in education is the spiritual. And how to effect this?
These are the books. That is a fact. So you saw the Sanskrit professor there?
Yes, Prabhupada.
What is his name?
he's not a professor. He's a
senior lecturer.
He's a lecturer.
Mr. Mishra.
He has this hand.
Mm-hmm. Mishra.
Mishra.
Yeah.
He's a lecturer. He has this special. Classes.
That's right, yes. He does Sanskrit for us.
Right.
He's from Mauritius.
And he was interested in getting a whole standing order of books.
Mm.
And I said that I could supply the books, but it would be a while before we got every single one from America, including Bengali books, etc. We have to order them specially because South Africa doesn't have a good communication with America as far as transporting large
No, we sell supply from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you have got to borrow.
We have good stock now. We have in stock over 1,000 of all of these books.
Because we have good stock. We've sold so many that we have to reorder.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be much problem getting by air freight.
Mm-hmm.
We just put them on the plane and get them very quickly.
We shall take responsibility for supplying the books from here in this end.
But now what can you do if you're one of the professor who is in charge of Indology, like the one in Moscow,
uh-huh.
teaches Indology but he does not believe the basis of what? What must you do then?
Therefore in America, many of our students, they're teaching courses at the university. I for one, I have a BSc in chemistry.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually a graduate in chemistry. I had a 4-year scholarship to medical school and some of the other devotees are also graduates.
Mm.
And they're actually teaching in the universities.
If you want some of our students to teach, you can do that.
I think one must make a start somewhere, by getting specialist lectures, or lecturers at least, to start.
We could always assist in some way. In an objective presentation so that the students don't feel that they're being biased in any way. This is the idea of science. Let them draw their own conclusions, just simply present the facts. Let them come to their own conclusion. The main idea, though, is the authenticity. That there's no use in studying something if it's simply mental speculation, which, of course, the Vedic scriptures mean that they've been passed down for so many thousands of years intact. And the most important thing is to get a chance to read the originals in our own language, English or Afrikaans, whatever it may be. We're also translating into Afrikaans, the Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Is that true?
Yes, some of the girls are very, very proficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this now. And we hope that within a year or so's time, we'll have a polished copy to print.
I see.
So we're working in this direction.
If this line of activity is taken seriously, sometimes I may come and teach them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a very nice opportunity because you have all Indian students and they're eager.
Yeah.
Eager to know.
Yeah.
They want to know.
Yeah.
And they want their
questions
to be
answered.
They
should be helped.
Yeah. They should be helped, yes.
Yes.
They should be
helped.
That
is the purpose of it, you know.
Apart from anything else, our Indian, by name, our Hindu community here in South Africa seems to be very loose from any fixed idea of what constitutes Hinduism.
Yeah.
Yes.
And especially the young people, they are therefore living in a complete vacuum. They, for various reasons, they do not want to accept. Now, come back to the word religion again, because this is what they have about that I see around them. They cannot identify themselves with the Christian religion. They cannot identify themselves with the Islamic religion. They are largely ignorant.
That they should be shown the right path.
They should be.
This is the right path. Original, authentic.
There were not very many great scholars in South Africa amongst our Indian community. You know, they came out by and large as workers on the sugar plantation. A few were Christian missionaries, a few were jewelers and tailors and so on. And then for the last 100 years they were occupied in resisting
political struggles
or resisting this transportation back to India. And they were fighting to make a living, you know, finding their own place in the country. And it's only, as I see that in the future, as I've been telling them, that we are privileged to have them here in this country with this background, and that they mustn't cut themselves away from it and drift in a vacuum. They must give meaning to the essence of their own beliefs and faith. But they do not know to whom to turn.
Oh, this is the opportunity.
You see now, they turn, the senior ones turn perhaps to the acharyas that you saw there. Yeah. but
the youth are not attracted.
They're not.
Because they don't have the answers. The youth want to know science. In other words, if a youth asks a question, then you can't answer it. He doesn't want to hear from you anymore. But we can answer all questions on the basis of these literatures without any tinge of mental speculation.
Uh-huh.
Scientific. That's a fact.
And then basically they and myself and others want to know how do we get this spirit into our own hearts, and how does this then issue out into everyday living?
Yes. That is all explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
How to live peacefully this world and go back to home, back to God. This is the whole thing you explain. Very nice.
It's not that everyone will become a monk.
No, no.
Neither everyone will become a jeweler or a teacher. Sure. But all different occupations must be there in society.
That's
simply
right.
They have to somehow or another become God-centered.
Yeah. Well, this is the point, you see. Man only lives because God allows him to live. God has given him breath to live, and he's got to breathe God and speak God and live God. Now,
that is one thing.
How to get him to voluntarily make this experiment, because this is what you were saying. I mean, any scientific development rests on experimentation. The challenge to experiment,
yes,
is there. I mean, God does not deny anybody the privilege of experimenting.
Yes.
Especially youth at university, as I've always indicated, and I tell them every year that they've got to experiment with the spirit to the same extent that they experiment in their laboratories with pieces of animal tissues or grass or what it is that they've got to analyze. But the real tragedy is that we have wandered away so far from the spirit and from the spiritual laboratory,
yes,
that we don't know where to start. I was telling them the other day that when the Americans sent their first man to the moon, they had a laboratory of about 4,000 men at the controls. The one was doing this and the other one was doing that, but this was a huge human laboratory. That is only while the experiment, and then by that at that stage it was more than an experiment. They've worked on this scientific the scientific data for years. Very clever men, not only one, but probably hundreds of them. And then they were sending this man to the moon, and they worked as a team. No man could afford to slip. And I said to my students, here you've got an ordinary scientific laboratory where 4,000 people had to cooperate. And we can't get half a dozen real, honest believers prepared to sit down and try to find out what the mind, or how much God wants to give of his mind to our minds.
Because God is giving his mind. We require to take it. That requires a little advancement. Otherwise everything is there.
Yeah, but it needs a little bit of
just like this verse, that soul is eternal and the body is changing. In a very simple example, God says, this soul is there, permanent, and the body is changing. Just like a boy is becoming a young man is becoming old man. So there is no denying this fact. I can understand, you can understand that I was a boy. So I was a boy, I know that I had a body of a boy. So the boy's body is no longer existing, but I am existing.
Right.
So this is the fact that I am eternal, the body is not eternal. Very simple. There is no difficulty to understand it. I remember I was a boy, I was jumping. And now I cannot do that because I have got a different body. So I am conscious that I possessed a body like that. Now I do not possess. The body is changing. But I am the person eternal. Very simple example. One requires little brain only. That I, the owner of the body, is eternal. The body is changing.
Yeah, but now having accepted that, the further problem then arises, what are the implications?
Yes, that if we understand that I am not body, so at the present moment I am engaged only to keep my body in comfort, but I am not taking any care of myself. It's like I am cleansing the heart and core thrice daily, but I am hungry. No food for me, only washing material for my heart and core. So this basic civilization is wrong. If I take care of your coat and shirt and I don't give you to eat anything, then how long will you be satisfied? That is going on. This is the basic mistake. Everywhere the material civilization means taking over care of the body and bodily comforts. But the owner of the body, the spirit soul, No care. That whole. Everyone is restless. Restless. And they are changing ism, capitalism to communism, these are, but they do not know what is their mistake.
There's very little difference there, both material.
No, there is material. The communists are thinking that if we take the controlling government in our hand, everything will be adjusted. But the mistake is there. Either the communist or the capitalist are taking care of the external body,
right,
not the internal identity, the soul. The soul must be peaceful. Then everything will be peaceful. Shanti, that is the name. Bhoktaram jagadam naam sarvalokamayasaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatnamam shanti vichyati. This is the formula of peacefulness. Just try to read it.
Bhoktaram jagyatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamangshantvritshati. The sage is knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attaining peace from the pangs of material miseries.
That means one must know what is God. Because you are part and parcel of God, we have got very intimate relationship with God, our business with God. So, at the present moment, there is no information or attempt, the business, what is our relationship with God and what is our, I would say, action in dealing with God. God is neglected. They do not know what is God, no complete idea. Every religion, they are of course trying to understand God, but they are no clear. That is also has taken for bodily comforts. Either in Christianity or Hinduism, the so-called priest and the religious leaders, they are also after the bodily comforts. They have no clear knowledge. This is the difficulty. Ask any priest or any leader of the, you know, what do you mean by God? Hardly he will be able to explain. I've studied all of them. I went to Rome. I talked with one of the secretaries of Pope. no clear idea. One of the cardinals. In France I talked with one important man, cardinal. So many scandals was published.
He died recently. He was found dead in a prostitute's house. It was in the front pages of the French newspapers.
So people are losing faith in this way. Even the leaders of religion, they have no stability.
And I believe that with all the modern scientific developments that we see around us, well, if the satellite in the sky can reveal, you know, what
happens...
But that
is material.
No, but what I mean, if the satellite in the sky can reveal what happens in one pole, can reveal it to the other pole, then surely God can reveal His spirit and His mind to anyone who wants to obey, who wants to know, who sincerely wants to follow.
Yes. So here the Bhagavad Gita means God is explaining Himself. Now we have to take it by our logic and reason. Then it will be pure understanding of God.
Yeah, but how to get this across? I mean, you know.
That requires, the teaching is there. We have to understand it by discussion, by authoritative discussion.
Well, I think so. I think this is probably where one has to start, that you've got to sit down and discuss this very much as, you know, some professors would discuss in a scientific experiment.
The only difference is that the answers are there before the questions.
Yeah, but you still have to...
The process is prescribed there, how to understand. Tadvidhi pradipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshanti tadgyanam gyanina tatta darshana. Find out this part.
You see, the water is there. But I have still got to drink the water. You know, I want to get the benefit of the water.
Yes, that is it.
You see, the answers are there. That's
the difference, that they're looking for the answers.
That I can concede. This we can give, but how do you bring the person to drink? How do you get him to start putting into practice?
Is this verse Prabhupada requested? Tadviri pani patena. Pariprasnena seva upadekshyante jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth.
Purport.
The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as it is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmam hi shakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one progress in spiritual life. One has to accept a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding.
Just the practical example. These European American boys. They are coming from well-to-do family. Americans are all well-to-do family. Mm. There is no poor man. Now, why they are serving me? I am Indian, coming from a poor country.
Mm.
I cannot pay them.
Mm.
And when I came here, I had no money. I bought only 40 rupees. That was only 1 hour's expenditure. So, their life and soul is engaged to carry out my instruction.
Mm.
And therefore they are making progress. Pratipatin, Pariprasnin. They are asking questions, I am trying to reply them, and they have got full faith. They are serving like minion servant. This is the process. If the spiritual master is bona fide and the disciple is very sincere, then the knowledge is immediately there. This is the secret. Jasya devi para bhakti, yatha devi tatha guru. This is the secret of success. Therefore, formerly the students were sent to Gurukul. It doesn't matter whether he's a king's son or, of course, the guru, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they were coming from various respectable. Even Krishna, he had to go to Gurukul. There is a story. One day Krishna went to collect dry wood from the forest. And there was all of a sudden rain, and they could not get out from the forest. The whole night they remained in the forest with great difficulty, torrents of rain. Next morning, the guru, teacher, with other students, they came in the forest and searched them out. This story was being reminded to his one friend, Sudama Vipra. My dear friend, do you remember that night, how we had to suffer? So even Krishna, whom we accept, the Supreme Lord, he had to go to the Gurukul. This is the example. And serve the Guru as a menial servant, to go to the forest. There was no fuel at that time, gas stove. They had to collect the dry wood in Poland. That's all. So all the students had to do like that. How a brahmachari would lead, the description is there. Brahmachari guru ke kule basan danta guru rahitau. A brahmachari should lead at Gurukul very submissive. Danta means submissive. And only for the benefit of Guru. No personal benefit. In this way, brahmachari should take lesson from Guru. That is pattadvindhi, padipathena, padipasana, seva. They are trained from the very beginning how to become the first-class submissive student. Then Guru, out of affection, teach him open-hearted. These boys are doing so much for me. Let me teach them as far as I know. This is the process. There is no question of monetary transaction on the basis of love and education. So we have already one Gurukul in Texas. We are teaching on that basis, and another Gurukul are just going to open in Vrindavan.
In?
Vrindavan in India. So we have got this scheme, but we have got sufficient money that we can immediately start all these things. We, with great difficulty, we are writing these books and selling, and whatever little money we are getting, gradually developing.
Because printing and stationery paper,
It's all very expensive today.
Very expensive. We have got expenditure to the extent of 20 lakhs per month.
20?
Lakhs. 20,000 rupees.
It's about...
2 million.
It's about 2 million...
Yes.
2 million rands, I think. Last year, these books were distributed almost 7 million, over 6 million books, hardbound books.
Is that so?
And now there's reports that upwards to 75,000 books per month, in addition to our other literatures, are being distributed simply Srimad Bhagavatam. Very much being received.
We are getting encouragement gradually.
Increasing warmth.
Yeah. Are you producing these books at a nominal profit for yourself, or...?
Small. It works out that a book like this, normally in America you'd find a book like this sells for something like $14 or $15. And we're selling these books for about $6 in America. Very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Yeah.
Our price,
but we are getting encouragement from different sections. We are getting good encouragement.
Our retail price here in South Africa is $5.95 for this book. Of course, there's a discount for the universities, for textbooks and for libraries. And it covers the cost of printing. That's our main concern. We have different programs for maintaining. We don't require the book sales for maintaining.
Yeah.
We have membership programs and whatnot to maintain our temples and this and that. As such, it's not a commercial endeavor. We're registered as a company now for a day here.
Yeah. How long are you still staying here?
About 2 more weeks. Prabhupada will be going to Johannesburg Tuesday morning for programs there.
I see, but will there be somebody around here?
Oh yes, we're opening a center here in Durban. We have our center in Johannesburg, and we're going to open another center here in Durban. So we'd like to somehow or another follow this up, and we can present the syllabus if you're interested in a course in Vedic teaching, Vedic culture. We can present the syllabus to you week by week, day by day.
You have got our catalog?
You have. That's very interesting.
Yes. But I've taught one class in University of Florida in America. This is the catalog of our book trust, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, just printing all of these literatures.
Yeah.
It's a great service, you know. If these classes are available to students, then the restlessness which students have, you know, the understanding that sometimes isn't there, that will diminish markedly. They must have answers to their questions, authoritative answers.
Yeah, well, you see, we have this course of Indology, of Oriental Studies, of Indian Philosophy. As I say, what they teach there, I do not know, but it would appear that one ought to sit down and see that your syllabus is incorporated or becomes part of the existing courses.
Yes.
Now, where would one get such a syllabus?
Well, I have syllabuses from America from some of our courses.
Yeah.
But if you told me the format, how many times a week you meet, and how long, how many weeks your classes last, and how your examinations are standardized this way and that way, then it can be worked out very easily. I can type it out and present this to you.
Yeah.
How the course would be, what books would be utilized, how much reading material there would be necessary for the various time periods, how many students could be accommodated. Everything. And what books would be used in higher level courses.
We have got many PhDs also, students. Mm-hmm. They can help. They can come.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of American University PhDs.
Well, one would have to grade posts, you see, which is one of the difficulties. At the moment, we have one man in Indology, but he's not enough. I mean, he can't cope with this work.
This is not
Mr. Mishra, no.
It requires special training.
Well, now this is the point, you see. The man that we have at the moment, theoretically, he would agree, but he would say, well, this is the Gita, and he will explain what is in the Gita, but whether he believes himself or whether he practices,
yes.
This is a different story altogether.
Yes, you are right.
Even it would be difficult for him to explain if he is not
practicing.
Those of us who have in our hearts.
There would be no incentive for him to go into it in the first place unless he has some desire to understand
it. Acharya means one who practices, and by practical experience he explains. He is Acharya. Acharya, this very word, Achinati, he knows the principles of scriptures and he practices himself. And then he becomes Acharya. Otherwise not.
You see, I might have some difficulty in accepting parts of what you have indicated here simply because I do not know.
Yes.
But basically I accept for myself,
yes.
You know, that God lives in us and He moves us, and when we leave things to Him, He knows how to direct these things.
Well, the main point is that we shouldn't leave these ideas to be discussed simply from the basis of mental speculation.
Correct.
Because then everyone will have a different opinion.
Well, this is the point. This is the
standard. The Vedic literatures actually set the standard that we can refer to. Just like sometimes the example is given that if there's two lawyers arguing in court and they have some argument, then the ultimate authority is the law book, which the judge he refers to.
Yeah.
So in the same way the Shastra, the scripture, is the law book, and very clearly philosophically presented. Anyone can understand.
How do the Christians that you have come across, did you belong to the Christian religion?
I'm raised a Jew, but I used to attend Mass regularly because my friends were Christian.
How do they look at this? How do they accept this?
Very nicely, because generally the Hindu conception is one of monism, whereas the Vedic conception is one of God being a person.
Mm.
Monotheism.
Mm.
Monism is different from
Hinduism, not monism. They have made it. Now, Hinduism, that is Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, the at least the modern day practice of it. In other words, they've given so many interpretations to the Vedic literatures. I'll just give you one example. In the Bhagavad Gita, for example, there's a statement here that the spirit soul, jiva bhuta sanatana, that the living entity remains eternally individual, fragmental, you see. Jiva bhuta means tiny spirit soul. He never loses his identity. Now the modern day Hindu conception is that the soul, after liberation, merges into God. I'm sure you heard this idea before. And then becomes one with God and has no separate identity.
Mm.
But this is not confirmed in the Vedic literatures anywhere.
Mm.
The individual soul remains individual eternally.
Mm.
And therefore there is a possibility of a loving relationship with God.
Mm.
Because lover and beloved, there has to be two souls.
Mm.
You see. Pure Vedic teaching is really wonderful. And it's very much appreciated by Christians in particular, because the Christian conception is that God is a spiritual person.
Mm.
And also the Vedic conception is that God is Purusha, spiritual person.
Yeah.
This is the wonderful thing about the Krishna consciousness movement, is that there are so many points of view in common with the Bible. that Westerners very much appreciated. Even though they may not embrace the conception of Krishna as God, they can appreciate the conception of God as a person.
Correct.
You see, because it's right in line with their upbringing.
Yeah.
And therefore, in our movement, practically speaking, all
I have read one book. What is that? Aquarian Gospel.
Aquarian Gospel.
In that book, it appears that the Christianity has come from the word Krishna. Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The word Christo, it appears in Greek dictionary, Christo. And this word is called apabhramsha, or what is called? A word misspelled or mispronounced, what is called? Wrong. In India.
Oh, a similar sound?
In India still, Krishna is sometimes called Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
My younger brother, his name was Krishna, so we were calling him Krishna.
Yeah,
so this Krishna word has come from Krishna. And Krishna means love, anointed, like that.
A redeemer.
Huh?
A redeemer.
The
savior, if one could call it that.
And from this Krishna, Christ. This is explained in that book. So I think this Christianity has got linked with Krishna.
Well,
Christianity and so Christianity.
Just like God created the body and then He breathed in the life. The same idea as taking those.
Yeah. You see, and even 1/1,000,000,000 of 1% of the mind of God is so big.
Oh, yes.
that there is no human being that can even conceive all that.
Greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest. That is the conception of Brahma.
Because He is so great, it behooves us to repeat His instruction without great interpretations to distort the meaning. That's the wonder of these books, that they're as they are without interpretation. Reference always, cross-reference back to other Vedic literatures.
So actually all our these books explaining Krishna. Whatever books we have presented.
Your concept of Krishna is
a reference to the Upanishads. In other words, the harmonious oneness of idea within the Vedic literatures is presented in the purports. No mental speculation. Practically every sentence that Prabhupada speaks is quoting some verse from the Vedic literature, because he's representing the authority of the Vedic literature. This is Guru.
But then we've had, as I said, we've had two little cross-references from, well, from the Christianity that I know and that I accept. I accept Christ as Redeemer. I do not even argue about it. I accept that God is, that I live, that I have my being in Him. But the challenge of living the life so that He can never be really satisfied, but that, you know, that I live the life that at least is disciplined, the word that you have used there as a discipleship. This is where the difficulty comes in, and that you need an inspiration.
Therefore, we have got this society, they live in God. These boys attend them, have to live in God. Yes, that is required. Without practical life in God consciousness, simple theoretical knowledge.
It
takes long time.
Well, sure, it helps, you know, you must, but you can only, this can only become a reality in one's own life.
Yes.
If you practice it, and you practice it with others,
These boys are being trained up in practical life. Now they're established. Yes. No prasadam, bring.
Well, I mustn't keep you longer.
A few moments.
I want to thank you very much, and I pray that God will bless your visit to our country and to
thank
our people here.
Oh, I'm this old, I'm 80 years old now. Still, I'm traveling all over the world once, or at least twice in a year. Now it is a little straining, but still I have established so many centers I want to see that they are going nicely. And on my presence they take encouragement for this reason, probably.
Well, here at this university we certainly can create a very live center.
Yes.
You know, the material is here, the opportunities are here,
yes.
The courses are here.
I was speaking this morning about your government. I was appreciating. The people are happy here. I was comparing that Gandhi tried to take some political power here and he was not able. But he went to India and he somehow or other he got independence. But practically I see here the Indians are more happy than in India. I was talking.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very nice, please.
Take whole plate. You can take with you for
that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well,
what do you have prepared?
We have Simply Wonderful and another sweet that we've prepared.
You take. Eat.
It's very
all
nice.
Right. Thank you.
If you'd like, I can put this in a bag to take with you also and take it home.
Thank you. You see, Gandhi was here for almost 20 years.
Yes.
South Africa made Gandhi into the man that he became.
Yes, that I know. I was telling him that Gandhi in India, before coming to South Africa, he was a brimless barrister.
Yeah.
He had no practice. So he got some case here.
That's right.
And he came here and joined some political movement, became famous.
Yeah.
And with that background, he went to India and became leader.
20 years of political struggle in South Africa really made Gandhi the leader.
Yeah.
Enabled him to become the leader. But, you know, he tried to get for the Indians in South Africa what was his right, of course, for the Indians in India. But the situation in South Africa where there were not only Indians, there were Zulus and there were English and there were Afrikaans and of course...
I've been here now almost 3 years in South Africa.
Is that so?
Yes.
So I gave my honest opinion that Indian, after getting independence in India, they're not so happy as I see here. The Indians are happy, although they're not independent. So the government is good government.
Well, you know, the devil is very busy everywhere.
Yeah, that is natural. That is natural.
But there's peace here. That's a fact.
Well, we must keep it at all costs.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's the most important thing.
This man wants this and that group wants this, but
there's no end to it.
No.
You've got to keep the balance in. It's a very delicate situation.
That is what.
Very delicate situation.
You are giving this black community and the Indian community, the white community, all in peace. That is good government. Government's first duty is to keep peace.
It must have order.
That's all.
Otherwise, chaos.
Everything stops.
You know, once you've got chaos, you've got the law of the jungle.
So I was giving this credit to your government.
Yes.
It is not, but I must blame.
Well, we have problems.
Problem there must be. The whole world is in problem.
Yeah.
That is another thing.
Yeah.
But on the whole, we have to see how the government is keeping order. That is what. Yes.
You see, now it makes it easier again if we accept that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, for your life.
Oh, yes.
But He also has a plan for the country. If He did not want the Indian people here, He wouldn't have brought them here. If He didn't want me here or the black people, He wouldn't have brought them here. Now, either you must accept the totality of the plan of God, or reject it.
Yes.
And as soon as they come under the shelter of a government, it is the duty of the government to give them protection.
Sure, sure.
That is the duty.
You can't pick out a part of the plan of God that suits you.
No.
This one I accept, this is God's plan for me, which is there for God working, and the other part I reject. You see now, too many of us who want to live this.
East Africa, they are following the policy of driving away. That is not good policy.
No, that's not good policy.
Oh, when they have come to your shelter, it doesn't matter who is he, I must give him shelter. That's all.
Yeah.
That is good government.
Yeah. But then you've got to have a centrifugal point.
Yes.
Which is God. Yes.
Once you have that, and I believe our present Prime Minister and our previous Prime Ministers, they've accepted that. Maybe, you know, because the mind of God is so great, they've not been always be able to interpret it.
Imperfectness, maybe. On the whole, when the order is kept very nicely, that is good God.
I think so. This is primarily what is required, you know. And it takes a lot of wisdom in this country to do it.
Unless people are finding spiritual satisfaction.
That is another chapter. Then, but on the whole, the material life, of course, the God's plan is that people may live peacefully and be enlightened in spiritual consciousness. That is God's plan. But if we miss that one, then there will be trouble. But if the government is vigilant that all the citizens, they must advance in spiritual understanding.
Well, I think this is the great tragedy.
Yes.
And they must give guidance.
Yes.
You see, they must tell
people. Now, it is the duty of the God.
Sure. Sure, it's their first duty.
Yes, it is the duty.
Because God is a God of order.
Yes.
And He Himself is order.
King or the government is representative of God.
That's right.
To enlighten them in God consciousness. That is what? That was the plan in the beginning. Church was guiding the government.
Mm-hmm.
In India also the Brahmins were guiding the kings. That was the order in the previous. Now everything is topsy-turvy. But now we should take seriously, if we want real peace, we must take to that peace formula I have given, Krishna has given, Bhoktaram Jagadavsam, Sarvarupamaheshwaram, Suidam Sarvabhuta. He is the well-wisher friend of everyone. So we should take his advice. So Bhagavad Gita is directly the instruction by God. If we take it, any line of action, social, political, religious, cultural, philosophical, everything will be perfect. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. So if gentlemen like you, somebody come forward and impartially study this Bhagavad Gita with our logic, reason. It is actually what is called boon to the human society. If they act accordingly, everything, all problems will be solved. That's a fact. Anything, you take any side, it is explained there. It is explained. Do like this.
Well, we must.
So I shall request you to study this book very thoroughly and minutely. And as soon as there is any doubt, I'm at your service. You can ask. Yes. So you can take little leadership. You are already in a position if you take little importance of this idea, Krishna consciousness. The whole people of the world will be happy, irrespective of this nation. Everyone will be happy, because after that is stated, every living being is part and parcel of God. So, intimately they are connected with God. Just like this, my finger is part and parcel of my body. It is intimately related with this body. But if you cut this finger and drop it from the body, it has no value. This finger cut from my body, lying on the street, nobody will take care. But this finger, so long it is attached to the body, if there is little trouble, I spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Because it is important.
Correct.
And the same finger, you cut it from the body and throw it in the street, nobody will take it.
That's right.
So we are now thrown out of connection of God,
correct.
Therefore we have no value.
Yeah. Now, I want to conclude by saying that we want to start a new course.
Yeah.
Called, for lack of another word, Hinduism or Hindu religion.
No, this is the best word, Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Krishna is Hindu word.
Yeah.
So, if you take Hinduism, there are so many hodgepodge ideas. But if you take Krishnaism, no Hindu will deny it.
Will the Hindus not object?
No. There is no, not a single Hindu will object to Krishna's.
They all follow Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna.
So if you call it
Krishna.
Krishnaism?
Yes. We have named already Krishna consciousness.
Well, perhaps Krishnaism in order to Islam we're calling the other, and Christian theology.
Now, if you say Hinduism, it is already distinct from others. But if you take Krishnaism, it will include all others, and the Hindus will not object.
This is very important, you see, because I must now find a teacher.
Teacher we can supply.
And he must be an erudite scholar.
We can give you
qualifications.
Some PhD we can give.
Can you?
Oh, yes. He'll teach.
Well, there's...
As soon as you want, we can supply immediately.
Well, we have created a chair.
Yes.
A professorship.
Oh, yes.
It's now vacant.
So you gave me immediately.
If we can find...
Have you got that book, our Swarup Damodar, Dr. Samudra's book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness?
In Johannesburg we have.
Huh?
In Johannesburg we have it.
You have?
In Johannesburg, at the temple, we have one copy there.
Not here?
He's a PhD, chemistry PhD.
He's PhD and my student.
Yes.
He knows the philosophy, he can teach.
Yeah, but will he be accepted as an, now we use the word acharya, will he be accepted by the Hindu community as
a
religious leader?
He's Hindu. He is practicing Krishna consciousness. Why will not be accepted? He can speak on authority about Krishna.
Yeah, but how will the local Indian community react to a man if he has not been trained in the...
Oh, he's been trained though. This is the whole point.
He stand up.
Yes.
He is my student.
Yes.
He practices like him.
Yeah. Yeah, but now would he have what is normally in the Western world called a theological degree.
Yes, theological degree. He has studied all these books. This is theological. But there is no such thing at the present moment.
Yeah. Now I can see your problem. But now our problem on this side is, of course, that you...
Just as in America, I remember at
no,
university...
No, you can give an experiment. We don't charge anything. You see how he teaches. And then, if you like, you can appoint.
Yeah, no, but he would have to be acceptable to the Hindu community, because it would be for them only, not
well,
for the Christians
the,
or
the Hindu Buddha. Community accepts our movement. Every program we have at least, you've seen at City Hall, we had full house last night in Mulbeni Heights, full house, and they very much appreciate our movement in particular. They come to us for when they have questions. So any representative of our movement who's pure in his activities and whose understanding of the philosophy is comprehensive, certainly they'll have no objection.
Well,
you can see practically that the big men in the Hindu community here in Johannesburg and Durban, J.T. Bhuva...
You can ask the Hindu community.
They'll testify to our character, you see.
Yeah.
They accept.
You see, the South Africans had to import it, its priests, Hindu priests.
Even the young girls who joined our movement, they cover their heads. And the Hindu ladies are so impressed that they practice such chastity. Mm. You see, even to the extent always covering the head with a sign of chastity.
Mm.
You see, they very much appreciate it.
Now, but perhaps I can give you one or a couple of application forms that you could post to, you know, one or two people if they're interested to apply. But this would be, as I say,
Hindu community, I think they will accept us. I don't think they deny.
Mm. But this would be a wonderful opportunity to bring the essence of Hinduism, because from what I gather here, from what you have said, I mean, this is not only the essence of religion for you, but it is also the essence of Hinduism.
Yes. The essence of Hinduism in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
As it is.
Therefore, one would like to see that the foundation of any course which is given here in Hinduism is a pure foundation, unadulterated, and therefore based on the Gita and the Upanishads, the Veda, all the Vedic literature, because that's all that's available. But the trouble is, you see, as it is with whether it is Christianity or whether it is, I don't want to speak about Islam, I don't know enough about them, but there is always the danger that you will get intellectual expositions.
Well, this is the idea of presenting,
presenting
as it is.
Yeah.
In other words, let them draw their own conclusion. In other words, it's not simply that you're trying to flatter some people that they know so much if they don't know. You're trying to educate, which means uplift. So simply, we present the principles that are here and let the people become elevated, educated.
Well, are your book lists in here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Books are.
Have you got another copy of this?
Oh, you can keep
it. Are the prices in here?
No, the prices.
No, price is there.
I can give you.
No, no, price is there.
The American prices.
That doesn't matter.
No.
Price is there.
No,
yeah,
you know,
some of them are here.
In case we want to order them for our.
Yes, yes.
So you can order it here.
Oh, yes, here it is. Here
you can get it.
Libraries.
No problem.
You can get it.
There's no problem. As I said, all of these books we have available at this point.
These are here mentioned.
Yes. All these books.
Yes. I think in the beginning Bhagavad Gita is.
Yes. No shortage.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
For sacrificing the afternoon for me like this.
No,
thank you. And God bless.
Thank you.
And
thank you. Yes. On your thank you.
So shall I come by your office Monday with some copies and then
please,
little by little we'll be able to pursue. I have to go to Srila Prabhupada to Johannesburg on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And right after the programs are finished, I'll come back to Durban and pursue this further.
Yeah, let's see what we can and we can discuss. Thank you very much.
Thank you very kindly. Thank you for coming.
Please.
You mustn't take too many photos that you will make one egoistic night.
Hare Krishna. He's taking the photos. You know, we have our Back to Godhead magazine published over 1 million copies per month.
Why
do you
want it?
Back to Godhead.
He was a nice man.
Very nice man. That's why I called him.
I don't know if you have it here, but I'm not sure. You have one.